I want to take the opportunity from Parshat Mishpatim to connect between what we learn in Chumash and what we say when we go to shul. As a way of introduction, in every single shul, there's two different books that we all hold in front of us. One's a Siddur, one's a Chumash. So as a way to remember, in the Siddur, we talk to God. In Chumash, God talks to us. The idea behind that is that if you want to understand how we talk to God, the way that we daven in the Siddur, it's based on how God talked to us in Chumash. What I want to do in today's share is to try to explain how we can better appreciate what we say in the Siddur, what we daven, in light of what God tells us in Chumash. Before you open up any source sheet, I want to see. If someone asked you, where in Chumash does it say that we have to daven? We daven every day, don't we? Like, davening is like part of being Jewish. Where in Chumash does it say we need to daven? Anyone remember where it says something like that? Nothing rings a bell? Don't be afraid. What? Yeah? Does it say anywhere in Chumash that we need to daven? Yeah. A lot of people quote Bahatat Hashem Elokecha means to love God. But why is that davening? What? I'm looking for a command that we need to daven. Now, it could be Adam or we go daven. But how do we know that we have to daven? How we have to daven every day? What? What's the word you said? Something about avodah. Now, avodah we always thought meant to work. Correct? But why would avodah mean to pray, to serve? So the goal this year is to understand the concept of avodah. So I'm going to work backwards and just flip your page over to the back, to the back cover. Like in the New York Post, the back. It's more expensive to get advertising on the back page. The people. Look at the back page. I want to start right with the Rambam with Hilchot Tefillah. The Rambam doesn't have a commentary on Chumash. He was planning on writing one, decided not to. But his commentary on Chumash is basically turned into Marina Bukhin. And his introduction explains why he didn't write the Pirush on Chumash. But in his halachic, in his Yad HaChazakah, where he explains all the halachot, he bases everything on Pesukim. And he has a very deep understanding of how Chumash works, the Rambam. I want to appreciate how the Rambam explains why we daven. Hilchot Tefillah in Sefer Ava, this is how he begins. It says, Mitzvah Taseh Litpala B'choyom. Now, he understands it's a Dioraita. It's a positive commandment to daven every day. Shenemar, Vavadetem et Hashem Elokechem. What's it saying, Chumash? You have to serve your God. Why is that Tefillah? Didn't say why. But then he says next, Mipi HaShmoa Lamdu. We learn from the Shmoa, from like Torah Shabbat Peh. Shavodah Zo Hi Tefillah. This word Avodah, in this context, in Chumash, is considered Tefillah. How do we know that? Because it says in Shema that we say every day, Vahim Shema Tishma Mitzvotai Asher Anochi Metzav Etchem Hayom. Finish it for me. Lahavat Hashem Elokechem Ulovdo B'chol Levavchem U'Bechol Nafshechem. So, how do you do, that's not a commandment, is it? That's saying, if you serve me properly, I'll reward you. But it doesn't say that you have to serve God. I need a pasuk that's written in command form. For something for the Rambam to say it's a positive commandment, it needs to be written in command form, in its tzivui. Shema doesn't say it's a command, it says, if you serve God, I'll reward you. But then it says, how do you serve God? B'chol levavcha. B'chol levavchem. Now it's, what's avodah shebalev? What's it mean, avodah, with your heart? Amru chachamim, ezo avodah shebalev, zuhi tefillah. Now, what I want to try and do now and share is to understand where that pasuk is coming from and why he chose it. I want to take a minute while I'm pouring a cup of water. I want you to make a list of the classic things that people daven for. Universally, not on Yisrael, just in general. Make a list of the classic things that people daven for. A wide range. Just make a list. We'll do a little game. Everyone make a small little list. It's real easy. But make a list of the classic things people daven for. Okay, we'll take a couple nominees. Yeah? Let's hear some nominees. What's one?
For health,
for sure. What else? For Parnassa, right? What else? For peace of enemies. That's if you're a left winger. How do right wingers say what they pray for? No. They say they want military victory. Left wingers don't want any war at all, and right wingers want to win the wars. What is that? Peace or Belhead? What else? Children and? Shidduchim and? Rain, okay. That's part of prosperity. Yeah, and? I'm not sure whether that's on God's list. Yeah. You pray to God that it gets out of your life. But maybe, yeah, that's a little too. But in general, also I think Arichus Yamim. Okay, that's it's part of health, but the same idea. Now, keep that in mind for a minute. I want to show you the pasuk that Rabban quoted, that we have to serve God, Bavadatem. We're going to read now where it comes up in Chumash, and guess what parsha it's in? You can guess. It's in Parshat Mishpatim. You would never guess that. We're going to read it now. You would never guess it's talking about davening. Let's take a look at it. That's going to be now. Go to the real first page. Okay, actually, the second page. Where it says C. The first page is Parshat Mishpatim. That'll be the second half of this year. Well, let me explain what we're going to do now. I just showed you, according to the Rambam, based on the Gemara, that the source that why we have to daven is built on the word avodah, lavodat Hashem, to serve God. And Chazal understand that serving God, working for God means tefillah. We're going to first see the pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim that Chazal learned from, and a couple others in Dvarim. And then I want to introduce what does avodah mean in tefillah, but how it relates to Parshat Mishpatim. What does it mean to serve God? By the way, where's the first place in Chumash where we have the concept of working for somebody, where we have the word avodah? Towards the beginning. Where in Brishit? In other Barishon, his job is l'ovda l'shomra. In Gan Eden, in that Gan Eden motif, man is working for God. So it already shows you there's something about avodah where you're working for God, some connection to God. Keep that in mind. We're going to return to that soon. Now let's go back now to where it says C. We're going to see the first page where it says A and B. That's the first part of Parshat Mishpatim. We'll return to soon. First, we're going to read the boring part and see where Chazal get this law of davening from. Just a quick review of Parshat Mishpatim, in case you forgot from last year. Moshe Rabbeinu receives the Ten Commandments. The people get scared, say, well, we don't want to hear from God directly anymore. Moshe, you be the middleman. God agrees. And God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, come on up to Har Sinai. And God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of Parshat Yitro, Kol Tomar Bnei Yisrael, go tell these laws to Bnei Yisrael. A set of laws, mostly Parshat Mishpatim. Ending with Lot Vashel Di B'Chalibimo, there's three chapters of laws. After the laws are over, there's one short little promise about how God's going to help us take the land of Israel. We're going to read that short little promise at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, at the end of the laws, which will be followed by the ceremony where everyone says Asa V'Nishma, where they have the Kiddush and the ceremony, and that's the end of Perek Havdalah. Now, we're in Chav Gimel Pasuk, Chav Source C. God promises, Am Yisrael, I'm going to send a malach to lead the way, to bring you to the land that I've got ready for you. And then it says, listen to him, don't disobey him. If you follow him, he'll help you defeat your enemies. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Ki ilech malachi lefanecha, this malach will lead the way. Ve'vichal amoriach iti v'aprizyach neni achidi v'ayfusi v'ayichalati. This malach is going to help you capture your enemies, defeat them. You'll take over the land. When you do that, lo tishtachavel alahem, don't bow down to their gods, the ones you defeated. V'lo to'ovdeh, don't bow down to them and don't do what? Don't worship and serve them. V'lo tasek ma'asem, don't imitate them. Ki hares tarsem shaber teshaber matzevotam. Instead, destroy them, wipe them out. Look at the next line, pasach hafei. V'avaretem et Hashem elokechem. Instead of worshiping those gods, what do you do instead? Worship your God. That's the pasuk that Rambam quoted. Now, had you read that on your own, would you think that means to daven? No one even pays attention to psukim like that. But it means, what would you think? It says, don't bow down to their idols. What do you do instead? Bow down to your God. But for some reason, Chazal learned from your davening. But look at how it continues. And look at your list. You serve your God. What will God do for you? What's that mean? What will God do? He'll bless your, that's mean making a motzi. Lachmacha means your food. He'll give you what to eat and what to drink. That's your prosperity. What else will God do for you? Give you health. You'll have children. Right? You won't have people not having children. Long life. People will be afraid of you. You never. That's the right wing side. I'll help you defeat all your enemies. Is that everything on your list? Right? I think, I'm assuming here, but I think, why? There's a lot of psukim, we'll see later in Torah, there's a lot of psukim where it says you have to serve God. But why did Chazal pick this one as the pasuk about tefillah? Because on the flip side, we're saying, you serve your God, what will God do for you? All these things. These are the things that people daven for. Not just Jewish people, all people. Tefillah is universal. Everyone understands that there's a God above or someone controlling our lives. And what we do, and God has an effect on our lives, can help us or hurt us. And people turn to God for help. And here we see God saying, you serve me, I can help you take care of these things. I don't think it's just for the wording of the pasuk, the word avodah. I think in the context, the parsha mishpatim, we begin with the concept of tefillah. The rest of the shiur I want to get across is, what does it mean to serve God? And to do that, I want to explain why this is the end of Parsha Mishpatim. I want to give a shiur now, we'll take 10 to 15 minutes to do a short shiur on Parsha Mishpatim to understand the Jewish concept of serving God. In classic religion, how do you serve a God? How do the seven nations serve their gods? They had idols and they had sacrifices and they bowed down. Classic ritual. We weren't the first nation to come up with the idea of sacrifice and service as a ritual. That's universal. Every religion has that. But most religions, each one has a different God. And what's a religion about? How you serve your God. How you bow down to Him, what you say to Him, what idols you make, etc. Everyone has a certain a way of worship. If you go to the first page now, where it says Source B, the laws of Parsha Mishpatim, I'm assuming some of you are familiar with the shir. I just want to give the... I'm not going to do the shir. I'm going to give the summary of it. As we explained before, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Har Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. I mean, Amazon comes out of Egypt. Moshe goes up to Har Sinai and they get the first Ten Commandments. Then the people get scared. And then Moshe gives the rest of the laws. But before we get the Ten Commandments, we entered a covenant, didn't we? What was that covenant about? In Har Sinai, we read about it yesterday. It says, before we get the Ten Commandments, we all first come to Har Sinai. God makes a proposal. It says, "In Shemot Yishvu v'Koli Yishmatem et Briti." If you're willing to listen to me, obey me, and be my skula, be my chosen nation, my special nation, from all the other nations. Then, if you do that, "Vatem Tivlim Amlechet Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh," you'll be a nation representing me. You'll be a nation designated to serve me, a nation as a nation being like a priest, representing God. To the other nations. Just like within Am Yisrael, a Kohen represents God to the rest of the people, a nation of priests, the nation of Israel represents God to the 70 nations. A nice little example, before we got to Har Sinai, remember, we bumped into a place, I think Elim, that had 12, what was it, there was 12. There was this place we went in Parsha B'Shalach. There were 12 Mayanot, 12 springs, and how many trees? 70 Tamarim, just by chance those numbers. What's the 12 going to symbolize? The tribes. And 70 usually is the nations. What's going to cause the tamarind to grow and prosper? The water that they're fed. Remember in my mother Torah? It could be the Shivim Skenim as well, but also the Shivim Amim. The idea of like the same Shivim Nefesh and the Shivim Amim in two parts of Sefer Bereishit. You have the same idea here, where we're getting ready for Har Sinai. Before we get to Har Sinai, we have these experiences that get us ready for Matan Torah. That's the proposal. Am Yisrael agrees to this. They say Naseh, they accept it. In light of their acceptance, now we get to meet a set of laws that will make us represent God. That's why we call, we have 613 and they have 7. God can't teach all the laws in one setting. We have the problem of every educator. You have a lot of material to get over. How do you teach? How do you give a course to cover material? You can't give everything in one setting. So I give them in units. We start with the Ten Commandments. The first big class, the opening day class is opening, you know, the opening class is more about theatrics and experience, like the first day in camp. It's the Ten Commandments. It's more of an experience than law. The next day, we sit down to class. That's Parshat Mishpatim. Parshat Mishpatim, 3 chapters of laws, that is more than just, it's not all the laws of Chumash, it's some of them. What I want to talk about for 10 minutes is what laws make it the Parshat Mishpatim. In light of that, we'll understand what this concept of Avodah. Again, most religions, if God comes and says, you're my people, I expect a whole set of rituals what you have to follow, how you bow down, how you feed me, classic Avodah. And God doesn't change that. What's the first thing he tells them? Look now, in Parshat Mishpatim begins at the end of Yitro. In Perachav Gimel, Pasachav Gimel, the beginning of Bina, it's supposed to be. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Kol Tamar B'nei Yisrael, Atem Ritem Ki Min HaShemayim Divarti Machem, you saw I just spoke to you from heaven, it was the Ten Commandments. Then Lo Tasu Niti El Chesef El Zahav, how do you worship me? Not with idols, don't make idols out of me, trophies and things like that. But if you do want to worship me, how do you worship me? If you want to serve me, here's how you build a mizbeach for me. You make it out of simple earth. If you want to make it out of stone, you can't use metal on it. Basically, we have a set of laws how to build a mizbeach, how to build an altar to serve God. Sounds like every normal religion, correct? But then we change gears. And we say, V'eila mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. Which are laws followed for? Who are mishpatim for? What's the source of the word mishpat? All right, just give it away. Of a shofet. These are laws that we need a judicial system for this. These are laws for the court system. Everyone, all the civilians need to be aware of them. But the people enforce them is faith. From what you remember, I mean, give a hint here. The first law is Ki Tiknevet Ivri. This is a short show. This week's parsha coming up. The first set of laws we get is about how we treat a Jewish slave. And how do we treat them? And then we treat ourselves pretty much. It's a lot about a Jewish slave in 7 years, the whole you're familiar with. Then we go to the Pasuk Yud-Bet to laws of Makish Lemet Mot Yumat. Those are the laws of civil law. There's a whole chapter what we call Mesechet Mizikim, which we're not studying now, but in Parshat Mishpatim we have a whole set of laws about assault, a person hurting another person, and what the laws, what the judgment's going to be, causing death, not causing death, intentional, unintentional, hitting a fellow man, hitting a slave, paying damages, paying healthcare, things like that. Classic Nizikin. Damages. Followed by not only you causing damage, but your property causing damage. It can be your shore, it can be your animal, an ox that gores and things like that, shortam, shormuad, the laws of shomrim, responsibility, if you open up a pit, if you cause a fire. Basically, the whole will become a second Nizikim. It's a set of laws, it's only about one chapter, they turn into 3 Masechtot in Talmud Bavli. You've heard of Bava Kama, Bava Metzia? Those are 3 parts of the second Nizikim. The second Nizikim is 30 chapters. The first 10 is Bava Kama, the middle 10 is Bava Metzia, the last 10 is Bava Batra. But that's a whole set of laws that Chazal take this one chapter and they darshan it inside out to get all the laws we call Choshe Mishpat, laws for the court system. Most of the laws of Parshat Mishpatim are recommended to settlement. That goes on for a chapter and a half, and then we have a quick break. Pasuk Yotet, I have it on the side there out. There's another case I brought there which we're going to skip about. If you lend things, you have to take an oath. The person who's watching them has to take an oath called Shvat HaShomrim. The person who is guarding it has to take an oath that he wasn't negligent. And what's interesting is the name for God there is, the name for the judges is Elohim. Now then we have in Pasuk Yotet, Zovech LeElohim Yochoram, Dotin Hashem Levado. If you bring a korban to probably another god, or the wrong understanding of God, you're excommunicated unless you bring it to Yudke Vavke. God, out of nowhere, we have a whole set of laws of civil law, and out of nowhere, we have this insert about how not to worship God, and how you should worship God, which is strange. It was very organized up until here, now we have a strange change. Then in Pasuk Chaf, we have a famous law, V'gir lo toneh, v'lo techetzena, that means what? Don't cheat or pervert justice with a stranger, and don't oppress him. Why can't you do that? Ki geri meitem etz Mitzrayim, because you were slaves in Egypt. Then kol habanav yatom lo tanun, don't afflict a widow or an orphan, and if you afflict them, it'll happen. They'll cry out to me, kim tzok yitzak elai, I'll listen to their cry, and what will God do? God will get really angry. He'll kill, he'll punish you. Your wives will become widows, and your children will become orphans. Which is a nice way of saying it. If you afflict a widow and orphan, what will your punishment be? Your wife will become a widow. Which is a nice way of saying it. You're dead. Most law books don't write laws like that, do they? Just say, you do this, here's your punishment. There's another law, when you lend money, in case of tevet ami, and don't be a loan shark, and don't oppress, and don't lean on them. And if you take, don't take interest. And if you take a collateral, it's something they need at night, like a blanket or a pillow, give it back to them so they won't cry out. And if they do cry out, God says, he's going to listen. And then there's laws about returning lost items. And then Midrashek, I just quoted here and there from there, but there's another set of laws. What I want to talk about now is the difference between this set of laws that I just read and the first set of laws about civil law. If you look at the way Parshat Mishpatim is written, there's two very distinct sections. There's one section which is universal, that every nation has, which is called civil law. Almost every nation we have has civil law, and especially secular societies, and even secular societies. Civil law, what happens when one person causes damage to another person, has nothing to do with believing in God. Correct? We find that in totally secular societies, you have laws about, it's called civil law. I think they call torts. You know how to spell it. T-O-R-T-S. The format for those laws is very simple. Should this case happen, here's the psak. Here's what the law is. Should this case happen? What's really interesting, in the laws of assault, about one person hitting another person, there's one case in the middle that's not assault. It says, Mekaleo vidimo, motumat. If you curse your parents, you're put to death, which is really neat because you can learn from there that verbal, if you want to do a modern day drasha, you can learn from there that verbal abuse is equivalent to physically hurting somebody. But there's a whole set of laws which have to do with basic civil law. Who does the punishment? Not everyone on their own. Everyone has to be aware of the law, but the punishment is given by Beit Din. If you see someone else hitting, you don't go and kill them. It goes to Beit Din, you bring Edim, and there's a whole process. After that little insert of Zobeit Lablim Yechoram, after Pasuk Yotet, when we get to laws about not oppressing a stranger, the format is very different. It's no longer a case law. Should this happen, here's the punishment. Instead, it's what's called absolute law. It's do's and don'ts. But did this come with the punishment or not? The law about the stranger and about the widow and orphan. Is there a punishment that goes to Beit Din? Not at all. But there is a punishment. Who's punishing? God. Now what's so cool, in the first half when everything goes to Beit Din is called Elohim. It's intentional. Because Beit Din is representing God in a certain sense. But in the second half, there is no Beit Din. You know why there's no Beit Din in the second half? Why don't these laws go to Beit Din? Because the widow, the orphan, the stranger, they don't go to a lawyer. They don't have a lawyer. They don't know to go to a lawyer. They're easy to oppress. You can double the rent, and there's nothing they can do about it. You can charge late fees. Listen, and they'll pay because they have no choice. There's certain people that are vulnerable, easy to take advantage of. It's easy. And ask any rip-off artist. They do it all the time. No. It can be totally legal. Jewish law is not just about civil law. Jewish law is more ethical. And say here, there's a problem once you have a law system that if you just go by the letter of the law, you can do something totally illegal, but totally unethical. And After we give a set of torts, like every nation has, we have a little buffer, a little break in the action about Zovech Lelim Yechoram, and then we turn to what's unique about Jewish law. That even though there's no baiting involved, and even though there's people who won't go to court, you have situations nowadays where if someone wasn't indicted, that means they're a tzaddik. What's the news in Israel? If there's no indictment, that means I'm a tzaddik. That doesn't mean you're a tzaddik. It means the court system wasn't able to get a full case against you, or you had a good Jewish lawyer, you were able to not to get caught by the letter of the law, but it doesn't mean you're a tzaddik if you weren't indicted. And therefore, after the laws that go to the court system, we have a whole set of laws that have nothing to do with the court system. The first law is about don't know to be rotten and know that God's gonna is the ultimate judge. And then we go to laws that are like super ethical, like returning lost items, look in Pasuk Chav Gimel Dalet. If you see a lost ox or a cow of Oivecha, of your enemy, somebody you don't like, somebody you don't get along with. Someone from the breakaway shul, and you see them. You have to, what do you have to do? You have to return it even though you don't like them. You have to return an item even for something you do like. But listen to how much words of the laws, in class, they take extreme examples, but they're classic examples. They don't just say you have to return lost items. It says, the lost item of somebody you don't like, his animal, you have to return it to him. And even his animal, if it's stuck in trouble, remember, Azov Tazovimo, you have to help the guy with his help him unload what the animal is carrying, and help him out like someone with a flat tire. Then midvarsheki techatz, fasik, not taking shochad. And then finally, pasik tet, v'girdo techatz, don't lean or oppress a stranger again. And then the most important line of the whole parsha, it says, v'atem, you, the people of Israel, v'atem et nefesh ager, you know what it feels like to be a stranger. Ki gerim meitem be'etz Mitzrayim. We call this, I think, called a jab. Or in Yiddish called a shtach. You know what it's like to be a stranger. You of all people know what it's like because you went through this for the last several decades in Egypt. And when you become a nation, don't you dare do that to somebody else. We'll return to that in a minute. The next set of laws is about Shemitah and Shabbat and then Shalosh Regalim. And that's the end. So if you look at the page, I formatted the page in a way, because I know we didn't have a blackboard. I formatted the page in a way that'll show the structure of the parsha. When Chumash gives laws, we have to pay attention to, they're not just linear laws. It's not like Shulchan Aruch law after law after law. When Chumash presents laws, they're not just linear, they're circular. They're structured in a way that the structure gives you a message. You don't only learn from the content, you also learn from the context. And from the structure. Look what happens. We have a set of laws that begin with how to serve God. About a Mizbeach. How not to serve God and how to serve God. Mizbeach Adamat HaSedeh. That was the opening line. Then we had a whole unit of civil law. Then we had a buffer about, again, how to serve God, how not to serve God. Zovech Lelim Yechoram. Then we switched to another set of laws I call ethical laws. What do we have at the finale? Another set of laws of how to serve God, which are Shalosh Regalim, Mashanah. What do we do the 3 times of the year? What mitzvah is it? Shalosh, what we call Olah L'Regel, what do we bring? It says, Lo Yiru Panai Rekam, don't come empty handed, you bring Korbanot. So if I look at the beginning, the end, and the middle, what do I have? I have classic religion. How do you serve God? God has a certain type of altar he likes, he has a certain type of meat he likes, he's got a whole diet. I like these cows, I don't like donkeys, I like cows. You follow? I have lots of korbanot. I have a temple I want you to build for me. Here's how you serve me. I don't want you serving anybody else. This is special for me. It looks like a classic religion. But that's the envelope inside. I call this for 18 years, the double whopper. If you understand what I mean. There's a bread on the bottom, bread on the top, and a little something in the middle. But people don't buy them for the bread. The bread is holding it together. What's important is the meat that's in between. And there's two layers of meat here. The italic bold part is the Bein Adam L'Makom, and the non-italic, I guess normal, so came in between, those are the Bein Adam L'Chaviro. But there's two sections here in this unit. The first section are classic laws that every nation has. Call them torts, call them civil law. The second section is ethical law. What I want to show by doing this is that Chumash doesn't just say present all the Beinam Lamalkum laws in one unit and the Beinam Lachavir in a different unit. It purposely gives the first set of laws. We just got the Ten Commandments. Now we need to have a set of laws that's going to teach us the basics of Judaism. Remember, we just came out of Egypt. We just accepted to be a nation representing God. We're in this seminar. God's converting us, the way the Ramban explains it. It's a conversion ceremony. He's teaching us the basics of Judaism. The first day, opening day in camp, that was a big, you know, that's Har Sinai. That's thunder, that's a lightning show. That's an experience. The next day we sit down to class. The class that we're getting carries a very important message about what it means to serve God. How do you work for God? Like every other religion, for sure you bring, there's ritual. For sure you bring korbanot. But the main way you serve God is how you treat your fellow men. And not just regular civil love that every nation has, but also ethical love. And you understand that opening, it's a mini lesson about the basics of Judaism. In another context, I'd like to call this a transform. If you look at these two middle sections, the first one for sure is Mishpat. Because what's the introduction? We're of the first section of laws, the civil laws, the torts, that's classic Mishpat. The second section, I like to call it Staka. It's definitely ethical and moral laws that Beit Din can enforce, but still you have to be responsible to it. I'm calling it Staka because it goes back to the Psukim in Sefer Bereshit when Avram was chosen. When God tells him, why were you chosen? Remember in 1818 in Bereshit? That was the reason for the covenant God made between Avram to become a nation representing God. But how do you apply that to a nation? Now that we're a nation, we cannot reach it, we're ready to enter the land. God says, here's how I apply the concept of a nation chosen to serve God, to do tzedakah mishpat. I have a beautiful sampling of what it's like. We serve God. We have a special way of serving God, but we serve God by doing mishpat and tzedakah. Examples of mishpat and examples of tzedakah, you need them both. And also, avodat Hashem. Now, if that's the case, when God says, I want you to serve me, what does that mean? When God says, I want you to serve me, does it mean I want you to serve me and just feed me? God doesn't need to be fed, he doesn't need a place to live. He's got enough hotel points, we don't have to build him a house. He can stay wherever he wants, he's everywhere. We need to do something to show that he would feel comfortable staying in our house. The Shekhinah B'lithis means we have a feeling like God's in our midst. After that, we have this idea, how do we serve them? He says, when you come into the land, get rid of the way they serve their gods. Get rid of their gods. Get rid of their culture. Establish your culture. You come in, you serve your God properly, and God will reward you so that you can serve Him, continue to serve Him. In light of how God tells us how do we serve Him, what's the definition of how we serve God? I think this Parsha Mishpatim is the example, is the sample of how we serve God. We serve God by, on the one hand, bringing korbanot, but at the same time, our service of God is also how we treat our fellow men. At all levels. At the basic level of civil law, and also in the whole set of ethical law. Now, we apply those laws, we take every law here and we apply it to every single case possible, that's Torah Shabbat Peh. But the core concept is over here. In light of that, God says, Vavadatem Hashem Elokechem, which we turn to tefillah. What I want to show you now, how this is going to affect what tefillah is about. Now let me just summarize. Before we go on to the last section. I try to show you that Chazal learned tefillah from Vavadatem et Hashem Elokechem. A pasuk, when you read it the first time, you would never think it's talking about davening. And I showed you that it's interesting. Next to that pasuk says, serve me and what will I give you, all the things that people daven for. But that pasuk isn't just out of nowhere, that pasuk is at the conclusion of Parshat Mishpatim, which is not just a set of laws, it's a set of laws of how we serve God as a nation. We just took upon ourselves to be a nation representing God, we entered the brick at Har Sinai. This is our first big lesson of how we serve God. And in that lesson, we have that sandwich set up where we serve God the classic way, Mizbeach and Korbanot. But those laws surround the whole set of laws inside about how we do mishpat and tzedakah. The idea to serve God comes up many times in Sefer Dvarim as well. Because that Sefer Dvarim are the laws that were also given on the first 40 days in Har Sinai. So in section D, first I quoted from Shema that we say every day. And the Rambam mentions also that it says many times that we, it says many times that we serve God. He just quotes the first one from Parshas Mishpatim. He says, but that mitzvah and Sefer Mitzvot, it's mentioned many times. I quoted the one in Parak Vav from the beginning of Shema. In Dvarim Perek Yud, it's in the middle of section D. It says Dvarim Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Bet. I want to read from what I like to call the executive summary of Chumash. If you know business, you know what executive summaries are? You have a whole big long document this thick. No one has time to read it. So, someone who's not a lawyer, right, writes what's called an executive summary, what we call tachlis in Hebrew. Here's what it's about. After all these laws, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to summarize, Amisal, what's God want from you, bottom line? In this setup, for sure we're going to see this idea of serving God, but we're going to see what serving God's about. The reason I want to bring it down, I want to give over a concept of tefillah. It's sort of called maybe thinking out of the box. We usually see tefillah as asking God, I'll take you to an extreme. Sometimes we misunderstand tefillah as God the vending machine. Say these magic words in a vending machine. I want that chocolate bar. If I put the right coins in, press D7 or whatever I have to do, I'll get what I want. But what I need to do, I need to know how this vending machine works. So if you misunderstand Kabbalah and tefillah and you follow Madonna, he said, I can say this magic letter and put this magic word and things like that, and I know how I can control. God's my little, I can control God. I call that God the vending machine. And I want to show you Jewish tefillah totally the opposite. But I want to show you that from the psukim here, and I want to show also the Rambam is writing this way to fight that concept. We'll return to the Rambam after we read this here. So again, Vatay Yisrael. Pasuk Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Bet. Vatay Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecham Shom Mima. What does God want from you? Nice, like it's easy. Kim Lirat Hashem Elokecha. What's that mean? To fear God. That's Mamad Har Sinai. Lelechet B'chol Drachav. What's that always mean? Lelechet B'drachav. That's from Breshit again. We read it before. Avram was chosen. Ki Yidati V'man Hashir Tzavet B'nav B'nitach Harav. V'shamru Derech Hashem. Preshit 1819. We call it Chai Chai. Lerechet B'drachav is doing Tzedek U'Mishpat. Ma'afur Rachum, we'll get that in a minute. Because I'll get it from the psukim coming up, from the executive summary. What you quoted, we'll get to it in a second. That's Lerechet B'drachav. U'lavat Hashem Elokecha. U'lavat auto, to love him. That's attitude, or be faithful to him. Lava also means to be loyal. V'lavot et Hashem Elokecha. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. To serve him with all your heart, all your soul. That's Avodah Shebalev. Because I could learn from here also, Avodah Shebetvilah. And on top of that also, to keep Shulchan Aruch. Lishmor mitzvot Hashem et chukatav, Hashem Elokim mitzavcha, hayom v'tovla. God's saying, being Jewish is not just keeping the laws. Keeping the laws is a skeleton that keeps you together. But being Jewish is a way of life. The laws are simply a framework to keep you standing up. Then he continues. Then he talks about why God chose us. It was out of love He chose us to serve Him. And then he says like this, Pasuk Zayin, Ki Hashem Elokechem, Hashem who is your God, Hu Elohei Elohim is the only God, the God of all the gods, Adonai Adonai, El Gadol HaGibor Banorah. How come that sounds so familiar? Because I'll pick it not by chance for Shmoneh Esrei. Remember Shmoneh Esrei begins right from here. HaKel HaGadol HaGibor Banorah, Asher Lo Yisab Pani V'lo Yikach Shochad. God doesn't play favorites. You would think He chose us as playing favorites. It's a total misunderstanding by choosing us. God didn't choose us because He needs someone to love. God chose us because He wants someone to work for Him. It was out of love He chose us over somebody else. You understand the difference? It wasn't that God needs someone to love, or therefore He picks a nation to love. Instead, God wants a nation to serve Him, to serve Him, to work for Him. Why did He pick us over somebody else? That Sefer Dvarim explains. Like in Atav Rachatana, Ahaptotan of Ratzita Banu, Ramatan, you chose us for what reason? The Kerevtan of Malkeinu Lavarutecha. You brought us close to you so that we can serve you. V'Shimcha Gadol V'Kadosh Aleinu Karata. Your name is resting. Your reputation is resting on how we behave. So God chose us out of love. He picked us over somebody else. When you pick one person over someone else to work for you, or to be in a partnership with you, it can be a love decision, but it's not because it's deciding why did I pick him to work for me over some, why did he get the job over somebody else? You understand the difference between the two? Then we say it was out of love, in Abba Rabba we're saying it's out of love God chose us to work for him as opposed to a different nation. We're not saying, oh, God just wants someone to love me and we're better than everybody. Like I said, we're chosen to be better not because we're better. So that's the idea of Avat Hashem he's talking about here. Lavat Hashem, and therefore Lavur at Hashem Elokecha, v'chol avavcha v'chol nafshecha. And we go back to Pasuk Yitzayin again. Ki Hashem Elohim, Elohi Adonai Elohim, asher lo yikach panim v'lo yikach shochad. Then, Pasuk Yitzchel. Ose mishpat yotom v'amana, God does justice for the widow and the orphan, v'ohim ger letet lo lechem v'simla. He loves the stranger, giving him what they wear, etc. Look at Pasuk Yitzchel. V'avtem et ager, what do you need to do? You need to love the stranger. Have we had that line before in Chumash? In Parshas Mishpatim, we'll go back to it in a second. That's a key phrase throughout Chumash. What's he say next? Et Hashem Elokecha tira, followed by to, tavod, ubatidbak, mishmati shaver. See again Avodat Hashem? I want to use this as a definition. What does it mean to serve God? God just said, or Moshe just told the people, what does God do? God is, we say that, Sumech, Yotom Vomad Yodev, Yodev Hashem Yavet. We read that this morning. Yotom Vomad Yodev, he helps and makes happy the Lord for the widow, and he helps the poor and the downtrodden. Hashem Ateras Turi. God does all these things. He says here, what does God do? God is, what are we commanded to do? To love the stranger. I could say something the opposite. If God takes care of the stranger, the widow, the orphan, the downtrodden, then if you don't help them, it's a lack of amunah. Why can't you say that? If God's doing it, then let him do it. If I have to go help him out, that's a lack of amunah. Let God do it. It's like saying, you know, what do you call it? Let God fight our wars. That's fine. If I go and join the army, it's a lack of amunah. But here, what were you saying? Yeah. The answer is exactly the opposite. Why did God choose us? To work for him. What does it mean to work for him? You were saying to emulate him. What does it mean to serve God? To serve God means to recognize that he created you to serve him. You're in Gan Eden. What's man doing in Gan Eden? Lo'ovdah lo'shomra. That's the exact opposite of God the vending machine. I'll go back to Pirkei Avot. Remember Pirkei Avot? We say, Altu kavadim hamshamshim et harava v'nachav pras. Don't be like a servant serving God just to get the reward. That's the vending machine. Altu kavadim hamshamshim shalom et harava v'nachav pras. So the other here says, Abanat shalom et harava pras. Do it because it's the right thing to do. You're not serving God because you want the reward. You see yourself as an emissary. When people are young sometimes, like they work for some organization, like someone like a young person working for the president or in politics, they're just enthralled with their job and will do anything for their boss just because they believe in it. Not because they're getting rewarded. They might need a parnasah as a stipend. But when you identify with something, you're dedicated to it, you do it because it's right. To serve God means you recognize that creation appears to be imperfect. It's a road of tikkun. God gives you challenges all the time to fix it. But you see yourself as your mission, as serving God, is wherever something's wrong, do your best to fix it. And that's how you serve God. What's tefillah about? Tefillah is a reminder of what you're about. What's the strategy of tefillah? Tefillah is not just about, oh, there's this powerful God there, if I press the right button to say the right words, I'll get what I want. Tefillah is about reminding yourself why you're Jewish and why you're created. That's why we have to do it every day. It's a reminder what's the essence of your relationship with God and how you need to feel as an extension of God. You're working for Him. If you convince God and prove God in tefillah that you're working for Him, that gives God every reason to do what for you? To help you so you can help Him. Give me help so that I can serve you better. Bring us close to you so that we can serve you. Listen to what you say in davening all the time. We're not davening so that God will be good to us. We're asking God, we're willing to help you, we're willing to do good to keep your mitzvot. Help us so we can help you. If we have wars, we can't help you. If Goyim don't look up to us, how can we make a name for you? If we don't have what to eat, we can't serve you. If we have wars, we can't serve you. So we're asking God, give us the ability to help you. And we promise Him, you give us the things that we need, health, wealth, prosperity, children, long life, and we'll use that to serve you better. If we can convince God of that, God promises us, for sure I'm going to help you. He says the opposite. If you're doing a lousy job, I'll have to be mean to you till you learn your lesson. That's all the Tochach Hodor that way. What I want to suggest is that's the Ikar of Tefillah. The Ikar of daily Tefillah is not to treat God like a vending machine, but to treat God, to recognize that you're the Ovdal, you were chosen the Ovdal L'Shomra. If you go back to the Gan Eden motif. Your job is, what does Chazal say, Avodah is Avodah Shabbat Lev. Avodah Shabbat Lev is not just Lev, sometimes Lev is also what we call the brain, not just the heart. In Chumash, Lev is not just the heart, it's also what we call the brain. It's what you think, what you feel and think. We're reminding ourselves in davening what it means to be a covenantal partner of God. Mahurachum aftarachum. He's Sumech Nuflim, you're Sumech Nuflim. He's Mater Asurim, you're Mater Asurim. The best example, for example, is in Ashrei, where it says, we say, what does God do? That's the pasuk that we say, Ashrei, that's why we get, that's the easy pass for all of Abba. Remember, you say that three times a day, you're in. What's behind that? That phrase is from Chumash, from Sefer Dvarim, the next, in Parshat Re'eh. About the laws of Shemitah, every 7 years, you return debts. Then it says, if there's a poor person, and Shemitah's coming up, don't not lend him. What word does Chumash use? Potech tiftach yedecha le'anech avion. Says it twice. When we say potech yedecha, what are we saying? The assumption is we know Chumash. When we say that's what God does, it's a way of reminding us that's what we need to do. That idea of that, what Chumash is saying here, remember, God does this, and you have to do that. And remember, that's why God put you through slavery to learn that lesson. Now, let me show you that in Parshat Mishpatim, then we'll finish with the Rambam. At the other sources on the page, or other places where it says, Lavodat Hashem, that the Rambam brings down, but that was the key one I wanted to bring. Go back to Parshat Mishpatim, and I want to show you the influence of Yitzhak Mitzrayim on the laws. And here's a cloud of how God takes the experience we went through and uses it in this educational seminar of how we have to act. I talked about the two sections in this, what I call the double whopper. The first section was Mishpatim, that begin with the laws of Eved Ivri, which is beautiful, isn't it? In the Mishpatim, how do I treat an Eved? Way better than you would ever dream. Why? We just went through Egypt. We were slaves. I can take that experience now. I was a slave. Now I'm going to make someone else my slave. God said, you have a slave, treat him better than you treat yourself. Even an Eved Kanani, in the laws, in Hammurabi law, if a citizen kills an Eved, big deal. If an Eved spits on his master, you can put him to death. Maybe I exaggerated, but there's a total different way you treat. You don't treat an Eved like a citizen. In Chumash, they're still Avadim, but you treat them like human beings. You can't kill them. If you do, you're dead. If you punch out his eye, remember, or punch out his tooth, he goes free. He has to work for you. You own his work output. You don't own the person. Slavery still exists, or servitude, but the rights are upgraded tremendously. And that's the first step towards a higher goal, which mankind's developed because of that. But you see an effect of our experience in Egypt on the laws that we're getting at Har Sinai and the Torahs. But in the ethical laws, look how they begin. In the second section, the first law is Vigir lo toneh, v'lo techet tzedek, yigir meitem b'eretz Mitzrayim. What's the last law of that section? In Perachat Gimel Pasuk Tet. Vigir lo techet tzvatem midatem v'defa shagir yigir meitem b'eretz Mitzrayim. Do you understand the envelope effect that you have here? There's double envelopes here, each one. There's the envelope of the laws between God and man, how to serve God, in the beginning and the end. And in the last section, there's also an internal envelope of these ethical laws, we call the Tzedakah section, that begins and ends with, remember you were a slave in Egypt, don't you dare do that, when you become a big shot. God's saying, take the lesson of your negative experience, and don't turn it around and then you abuse others because they abuse you. Do exactly the opposite. Learn, be sensitized from that abuse, make that part of your national identity, and make sure never to do that to somebody else. That's what the Seder's about, that's the whole mitzvah of remembering Egypt. Now, look, go back to source A. I want to show you another element here of tefillah. Remember this section about how we serve God and how we have to act? Before we came out of Egypt, we were enslaved. What parent begins our redemption? In Chumash, from what you remember, what event begins our redemption in Egypt? What story is the beginning where does redemption begin? In Sefer Shemot. It's real simple. When's the first time God talks to man again and says and begins the whole redemption? Moshe at the burning bush, Peret Gimel. Moshe comes and gets, and what does he tell Moshe? What does God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Why is he coming to redeem them? Because he heard their cry. Right before Peret Gimel, at the end of Peret Gimel, look at the Psukim. That's source A, cause anyone listening. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayid yamim arabim ahem. Vayimot melech mitzrayim, vayinachu b'nei Yisrael min avodah vayizako, vatal shavatam elim min avodah. B'nei Yisrael are crying because of their hard work. It doesn't even say they're crying to God. It says they're crying out, and their prayer, and they're crying out, not even prayer, goes up to heaven. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Vayishma Hashem et nakatam. Vayizkor lebit pito et Avram et Yitzchak. What did God do? God heard their cry, and he came and saved them. Classic. That's the introduction to the story. Remember those words, and go back to Parsha Mishpatim again, in the ethical section. Go back to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, in the middle section, remember Pasuk Chaf Aleph. It says, Kol manav yatom lo tanum, don't afflict the widow and an orphan. Imanet tane oto, what will happen? Kim tzo'o ki tzach elai, shemo eshma tzakato. What does God say? You follow what happened? That's exactly the theme. You cried out, you were oppressed, you cried out, and God heard your cry. Remember that. He did that for you. If you do that to someone else, God is shomei tzaka. That's also the yisod of tefillah. Not that only I need to do it, the fact that you can cry out and God listens, we also learned that from Parsha Mishpatim. Part of tefillah is the understanding that God hears the cries. Not just the cries of tefillah, the cries of oppression. I'm not just learning that God hears cry, you cry and God hears you. I learned that God cries out because of oppression, and to serve God means to make sure that oppression doesn't happen, and to solve that oppression. And what we see here, when we get these first set of laws in Parsha Mishpatim, God takes our experience in Egypt and applies it to the laws that we get. That idea of applying a set of laws based on our experience as a nation is so basic to Judaism and also to Jewish history. Because throughout Jewish history, we go through, unfortunately, tremendous suffering. What do we do from that suffering? What lesson do we learn from that? Do we just learn it and bear grudges and get angry? Or do we say, look what we suffered through. Let's learn from that suffering and make sure we don't do that to others. Do we learn it as an educational experience? Or just a political one instead? It's definitely something we can learn from the setup. I want to conclude going back to the Rambam on the cover page, which has to do with the... Go back to Halacha Aleph, and the Rambam has to explain, even though this is a chiyuv d'oraita, what did you learn? Women have to daven every day or not? D'oraita? What should it be though? What type of mitzvot are women usually patur from? Shazman Groma. Would this be a mitzvah that says Shazman Groma? Yeah. It sounds like one. The regular hechot of tefillah, davening after David Shachris by this time and that time, would sound like it. This is the Rabbam's explanation. He says, serving God, why do we have to daven? Because the mitzvah to serve God. It doesn't say in Chumash what time of day to serve God, does it? So go back to Halacha Aleph, where it says, Abru Chachamim, Ezo Avodah, Shebalev Zui Tefillah. It's like 5-6 lines down. Then he says like this, Vei Minyana Tefillot Min HaTorah. The number of tefillot that we have to daven every day is not the oraita. Just tefillah itself. V'lo mishne tefillah zot min haTorah. Nor the wording, the way we daven, is not from the Torah. Ve'i tefillah zman kavo min haTorah. There's no set time min haTorah. U'lefichach, what's he saying? Nashim v'avadim chayvim b'tefillah. Why are women chayvim? It's not a mitzvah that says zman grama. You're always chayvim to daven. Because it's the essence of your relationship with God. It's a reminder that you're serving God. The fishi mitzvah shalosman grama. Okay. Then he says in Halacha Bet, what's the format for davening? What's the chiyuv of this mitzvah? When you daven, what do you do? First you talk God, like you do with humans. First out how great he is. Like you have a rich uncle. First you bow to the Baba, wonderful, you're so nice, etc. Then, can I have a loan? And then thank you so much. It's the standard format of asking for something. That's Halacha Bet. Then he talks about... And any way you want to word it, any way you want to say it, that's fine. And then he says, in Halacha Gimel, he says, if you want to, Halacha Gimel is really cute. He says, Imaya Ragil Marbeb Nitzchina Bakasha, if you know how to speak properly and you're able to daven a lot, you can daven for as long as you want. Vimaya Arav Svatayim, Medever Kefi Yochlo, Bechoy Tshirtze. If he's what? If he's verbose and davening, he can daven as long as he wants. If he's Arav Svatayim, you know what that means? Whatever it means, where does that come from? Now, who do we learn most of Tefillah from? Like, he's like the expert in davening? He's Mr. Turning to God and asking for things? And he's called... When the Rambam uses the Arav Svatayim here, it's not just by... He's using it on purpose to remind us of Moshe Rabbeinu. And remember, El Na Rafa Na La? Tefillah is not measured in quantity, it's measured in quality. Okay. And also, Minan Tefillah, the number. As many times as you want. One time, three, four, five times. Okay. And then everyone would daven facing Yerushalayim. Then, Pasuk Dalet. Halacha Dalet. Kivan Shegalu Yisrael Bimeinu Chenetzar Rasha, because Am Yisrael went into exile. Nitarvu Bepras Vyavam Vashar Umot, Venulu Lehem Banim Vartzot Hagoyim, Votom Abanim Nitbabala Sfatam, Vaita Sfat Kol Achad Vechad Murevet Noshon Tarbeh. What happened? We went into exile. Not everyone learned Hebrew. We started giving classes in English and things like that. And all these different languages, and people didn't know Hebrew anymore, and it wasn't nice the way people were davening to God. People didn't know how to daven in Hebrew properly. The kids in Yerushalayim didn't speak Hebrew anymore. They were speaking Hebrew. They were speaking a mixture of languages. Must have been in Rambam Beit Shemesh. So then he said, Anyway, things got really bad. And then what happens? What do they decide to do? Ezra said, listen, it's out of hand. This can't go on this way. We have to formalize tefillah. And then he cited how many times a day? Three times a day, one for Avram, either connected, corresponding to, not that Avram made up shachris, corresponding to Avram shachris, corresponding meaning, the prime examples of tefillah, of avodat Hashem, are the avot. The avot dedicated their lives to serving God. So we use them, connected, corresponding to the avot, we daven three times a day. It's beautiful, but that's not the reason. That's not the reason why we daven. That's the reason why we pick three. One can I get Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And beautiful psukim to fit each one. Veshkem Avram Baboker, Vayitzeh Yitzchak Vesuach Belifnot Erev, and Yaakov Vayitzchak Bamakom at night. It works beautiful. Or can I get Korbanot? Can I get me corresponding to? But that's not the reason why we daven. That's why we instituted three times a day. Why is the Rambam, I'll conclude with this, why is the Rambam so adamant to present tefillah this way? There's a big danger in formalized tefillah. The second you put halakha in a framework, three times a day, this time, this setup, the second you put it into a halakhic framework, it's very easy to understand tefillah in the vending machine model. Here's when you daven, how you daven, and this I've got, no, God will only listen at this time, that time, with these words and those words. You understand the danger in formalized tefillah? Therefore, the Rambam doesn't begin with formalized tefillah. He has to begin, there's basic tefillah, which is, it's in the heart. It's avodah shebalev. There's always this tension between tefillah, which needs to be from the heart, spontaneous. Your neshama speaking to God, which is the yesod of tefillah. But it needs to be structured at the same time. It just can't be a free-for-all. Now, if I only teach the structured side, what conclusion might the student reach? God's a vending machine. And these are the magic ways we speak to Him, and nothing else to think about. And what would happen? Tefillah would not be from the neshama the way it should be. It wouldn't be meaningful, it would just be, like, robotic. If I just teach tefillah totally spontaneous, any way you want, anytime you want, it would be good for San Francisco in the 60s, if you remember. It would be good, but it doesn't last more than 10 years. Like anything like that. It doesn't. Because they grew up, and they have to make a living. You need structure. You need to ask anyone education. You just can't keep up with an idea. You need structure. You need halakhic structure. And that tension between the need on the one hand for halakhic structure, for how to daven, you just can't say anything you want to God. You have to use proper Hebrew and say it in the right way. And know how, and know the right format. First ask, you know, praise God, and then ask your needs, and then say thank you. I need that guidance. Like, let's say you had a meeting, a business meeting with some big shot. Before you go to, what do? You go to a counselor or a helper who knows how to make a proposal, how to present the proposal to the head of the company, kind of thing. So what do you do first before you go in? You get some coaching. How to approach the big shot. Kavuchomo is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You want to turn to God, you get coaching from Chazal. How to turn to God, how to pray. But don't let that halachic framework, which is super important, take away from the Yisod of Tshila, which is Avodah Shabalev. And therefore the Rambam makes such a big deal, Avodah is Avodah Shabalev. And the pasuk that we learn often, when Chazal learned it from Parsha Mishpatim, that was the title of it, insights on, based on Parsha Mishpatim, you would never think the Parsha Mishpatim had anything to do with Tshila. I never thought of it either. It doesn't make, no one who reads Parsha Mishpatim at first glance would think it had anything with Tshila. But I'm trying to show you with Chazal, when you look in depth, it has everything to do with tefillah. Because that's the core of our relationship with God. That we serve God, not just by ritual. For sure you need that framework, but primarily by how we treat your fellow man. And the understanding that the way we serve God is in how we act. And the purpose of daily tefillah, I call it spiritual breakfast. You're about to start a day of serving God to remember and remind yourself what your life is about and why you're living. So tefillah is the... It's not tefillah something you have to get out of the way. Tefillah is supposed to refine the way you think and get you ready for a day of Avodat Hashem. And if tefillah has to be that, and its source has to be that, has to be in that setup. You're about to begin a day of Avodat Hashem. Tefillah should focus you to lead the day properly. And that's the exact opposite of God's vending machine. So when you understand the sources in Parsha Mishpatim, what it means to serve God, what it means to Avodat Hashem, and then when Chazal say Avodash, Avodah, when it says, we're commanded, Vavaratem et Hashem, it's Avodash Avalev, when Chazal say, Pia Shmua, Avodash Avalev, Tefillah, Tefillah isn't just the magic words, it's the understanding behind it, the deeper understanding of what it means to be an Eved Hashem, which is a mega theme throughout Chumash. So that's Tefillah and Parsha Mishpatim, and hopefully Hashem should answer our Tefillot, and continue on. Okay.